direct. From Guano Productions headquarters in the Los Angeles Underground, it's time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex. It's like honey in your ear holes. Welcome back to The Superiority Complex. And speaking of superiority, Angie proved hers because for the last 5 minutes we were making goofy noises and Angie just sat there staring at us.
Shaking her head.
We like to clear our throats and make sure that we're radio ready.
Let's recreate that moment.
Yeah, so John likes to clear his eustachian tubes. How do you do that, John?
I do the Felix Unger.
And Jake, what do you do to clear your passages and get ready?
I do the old little...
Yeah.
And Mario, what do you do?
Well, I repeat World War II radio codes, like John has a long mustache. John has a long mustache. The chair is against the wall. The chair is against the wall.
Abel Baker Charlie.
Mm-hmm. What do you – and Angie just sits there and stares at us like we're idiots.
Peter Piper, pick a peck of pickled peppers.
She goes, mine is, you're all a bunch of idiots.
You're all a bunch of idiots.
Yeah, just enunciating
every
syllable.
Every
syllable.
It'd be great if she did the
mind over, like, everything.
You don't mind because we don't matter. Is that what you're saying?
Why am I still here?
Why? What am I doing here? Now, today on the show, we have a different lineup than we did last week. And by the way, last week, great show. I had a great time. Jake mentioned that he listened.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, your ears burning. You must have been like, they're talking about me. I've got to tune in.
And we were.
Yeah.
He'll never go see Rogue One.
John Sandy is here, as
the
usual.
The second I heard you guys like, oh, he's not going to go see Rogue One, I bought it the instant I heard you say that. And you knew it was going to happen.
Howdy.
John, he'll never lend us $1 million.
Hey, let's try it.
Yeah.
He'll never give us a Porsche. I just know it. He'll never give us a Porsche.
Yeah. Nope.
He'll never buy me lunch at Tommy's. I just know it.
Wow, you aim low, John. That's how you
well,
keep your
we
dream.
Did the Porsche, and I was like, well, that's the...
Yeah. Yeah. Now, and then also here's the lovely Angie. Angie was here last week.
Yep, just... You know, quietly eating.
Yeah.
That was so great because they brought in the boxes of Yoshinoya. I was like, wow, full on meal.
Yeah. they actually brought a little burner and were cooking their own meat in the middle of the
little crepe pan. Yeah.
So how's everybody doing?
That noise. Okay, now we have a lot to talk about today. Today is the day because summer's right around the corner. We're going to talk about the summer movies. We're going to talk about the movies we want to see. But we're going to do that in a little bit. First of all, mm-hmm. We're going to take a pulse of the room, and we're going to see how everybody's doing. Angie, how are you doing?
I'm having trouble finding my pulse. Hold on.
Either my watch has stopped or I'm dead.
Jake is looking
Man,
for his...
I even went to school for this.
Did you?
Did you? Yeah. Did you not? You can't find your pulse?
No, I found it.
You got to give a little
smack.
Smack.
No, you don't do that.
She's not mainlining. What is she...
Anybody have, like, rubber little things?
Tubing.
Yeah. What, is she a beat poet? She doesn't need... She's just trying to find her pulse.
The tourniquet? No, we do not have tourniquets.
Time. Time is like a line.
Is that... What are you, John? Are you okay? How's your pulse?
I'm fine.
Are you doing well?
It's somewhere. Yeah, it's
so, John, we're gonna kick it off with something that all the millennials want to hear about. John, did you get to hear the new Ray Davies album that came out last week? Everybody's talking about Kendrick Lamar. You and I are going to talk about... You and I are going to talk
about... All I can say about his new album, damn.
Damn. It's pretty good. I'm not going to lie. It's really good. Have you heard it, John? Did you hear it?
No.
Kendrick, if you even like the hip-hop a little bit...
Now, he's got some odd guest stars, right? He's got like...
Rihanna's on it.
And U2's
on it. U2's
on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's some good... There's some... As the kids would... As my wife would say, the kids would say, there's some bangers on there. With a Z.
Is it dope?
With a Z.
There are some bangers.
It's fresh.
Is it fat?
It's P-H-A-T.
Is it F-A-T?
It is. No, is it P-H-A-T.
Fat? Oh, P-H-A-T.
Mm, pretty hot and tempting. Yep. It is, as the kids say, it's the bee's knees.
Mm. It's hip. It's happening.
I love it. As the kids say it about 120 years ago, it's the bee's knees.
I am hip to that drive.
It's the cat's pajamas. But check it out. Okay. Kendrick Lamar.
All right.
So Ray Davies, lead singer of the Kinks, released a long-awaited album called Americana, where he is backed by the Jayhawks. John, you are familiar with the Jayhawks, right?
Yeah.
And they kind of got kind of a roots bluesy soul kind of a sound.
Kind of a rootsy, kind of an Americana. They kind of lump them in with the Americana band.
Now, let me ask you, what were your initial thoughts on you bought it on vinyl?
Uh huh.
What were your initial thoughts, sir?
I like it. It's a lot of cool. a lot of cool stuff on there that he talks about. There's a lot of referring back to what it was like to be traveling America back in like 64 when they came here to tour. So there's some references to that. You caught that.
Yes.
They're talking about how they're coming into the airport and they see the long hair and they hear the accents and just like, ugh. You know, they're just like, get to the back of the line, you know, just like.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the usual stuff. Are you a boy or a girl? Hey, give us a kiss, you know? It's like, oh boy. And he talked about that in that interview where he says, you know, there's the America you grew up as a kid in England. They loved America. They all loved the movies and the cowboys and Indians and rock and roll. And then they get here and they realize it's a little different from the way the movies made it out.
Yeah.
They all say that. Clapton, everybody. They loved all that. Cowboys and rock and roll movies. And then you the wide open spaces. And you get here and you realize it's a little different. And it puts the zap on your head anyway, because even if you grew up here, traveling from like New York to California, you know,
totally different world.
There's a lot of in between where you're seeing some pretty crazy stuff. You know,
this is a very mellow album, very introspective album, which we've come to expect from Ray Davies.
The older he got, the more mellow he got.
But he's still, as a songwriter, he's still got it.
Well, and the lyrics are still great.
That song "Rock and Roll Cowboys," which at first seems kind of like I didn't really like the title, but I love. The line in there, where and somebody's quoting it in a thing I'm reading, where he says, "Your time's passed. Now everyone's asks you for your version of history." That's such a great line when you know that it's people who've. Well, what was it like back in the day? What, what was it like to be part of the British invasion and that sort of thing? He asks those kind of questions. What are you looking at there?
Nothing. I was just laughing at what you said.
Oh, but what was it? Because that's what happens when you get to a certain age. It sucks to be – it would have to suck back in my day.
Well,
you're not necessarily old, but it's just like the music's passed you by, you know? Mm-hmm. Like Britney gets – I'm sure Britney Spears gets asked those questions. What was it like to be – you know, part of
what was it like to be Britney, bitch?
Yeah, back in the early 2000s. But even her, like, you know, you see it a lot in pop music. You see people just kind of like fade
come
by
and
the
go.
Way.
And things, trends go pretty fast now. Mm-hmm. It used to take maybe a year for a trend to kind of burn out. And now it could be months, you know, and they're on to the next thing.
Bottle flipping.
But I think there comes a...
Pogs.
They must find a freedom. Pogs.
I still have my pogs.
Abba Zabba's.
Alf is back in pog
now and
form.
Later.
What?
That was a Simpsons thing where, you know, they go. They have some credit at the comic book store, and so Bart gets something really great, and Milhouse gets like some pogs. It's not enough that they're pogs. They're pogs with Alf on them. And he goes, "Hey, look, Alf is back in pog form." It's just like, only Milhouse would go to the comic book.
Poor Milhouse.
And not
bring
get
it
comics.
Back.
Yeah.
Everything's coming up Milhouse.
But no, what I liked was all the in-between stuff. He tells the stories being in New Orleans with Alex Chilton, and they're talking about how songs, it's like they cheat time. You play something you wrote when you were like 16, and you play it now, and it's almost like, wow. You know?
Yeah, it's a very poignant album because it's a guy looking back, and you've realized that even though Ray Davies has always been kind of a little bit on the melancholy, there's always a touch of
introspective.
It's very introspective.
And early on.
But now he's getting to the point where, you know, he is thinking about, hey, I don't have too much longer, you know.
Right. There's more time behind him than in front of him.
Yeah, and you see a lot of that coming out. I thought it was a great album. I actually listened to it, of all places, at the gym.
Wow.
But I was able to get it. I was so into what I was listening to. It got me through it.
I think it's going to grow on me. I think the one I like the best is that first one he did, Other People's Lives.
Yeah, the one, the first solo by himself.
That's the one I really dug the most. Because that seemed to have everything. It was like the melodies and the lyrics and all that. But I think this is going to grow on me. I just heard it the one time. I picked it up yesterday on vinyl. I just had time to play it once all the way through. But, you know, the funny thing about him is people say, oh, he's introspective. It's like he kind of started that like when he was like 20.
Yeah.
He had that first couple of years where he's doing that sort of primitive rock and roll. And then really early on, he's all, no, I'm more interested in what's going on in the, inside people's heads, you know?
Well, pick it up. It's definitely worth listening to if you have any interest at all in the Kinks.
It's
called Americana. It's by Ray Davies, backed by the Jayhawks. It's got an 80% score right now on Metacritic. Which is
that's good.
It's an amalgam of all of the. They put all the critical scores in there, and they give you an average.
The CD's not out yet, but the vinyl comes with a download code, so you can. You've got.
Oh, I should have bought the vinyl.
You got the digital
Always
download.
Get the vinyl.
I will give you the code because I don't have
it. I already have the
You got it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they always do that now with the vinyl. They say inside you get the digital download code.
There you go. All right. But,
and he just got knighted. He's Sir Ray Davis.
That's
now.
Right. Sir Ray. Yeah. So suck it.
All you people that aren't sirs.
Yeah, yeah. All you people who are not sirs.
Yeah. How about that? Very, very much deserved, you know? Believe me, if Mick Jagger can be knighted, Ray Davies needs to be knighted. So it's great.
What are you saying about you don't like Mick?
I'm saying the Kinks generally get left in the dust. It's like, oh yeah, the Beatles, the Stones, and the Who. Well, believe me, if any of those guys can be knighted, Paul McCartney, any of those guys, Ray deserves it just as much.
There you go.
And in the last issue of Rolling Stone, there's a photo of him, Prince Charles, knighting him with the sword.
Holding it up right now.
And it's
good
really
old Ray.
Cool.
You never thought a guy who sang about how much the British Empire sucked.
How it had seen better days, and yeah. Now he gets knighted. Yes.
Good stuff. Good stuff. I'm glad he's still around. He's a treasure, and hopefully people will seek him out.
Well, I'm sure he'll tour this. And I think he's working on a part two.
I think so.
Yeah, he's been talking about
it. He said he has enough for like three albums, he said.
So we got to keep our eyes open because you know he's going to tour this.
Well, you'll know before I do, reading your archaic newspapers. Somehow you'll conjure us tickets.
Be great if he toured with the Jayhawks, huh?
Yeah. They that was a really good backing band. You know, like when we saw them
with the 88.
We saw them with the 88, yeah. And that was a perfect fit for them because they sounded like the early
Kinks. I really wish I'd caught that.
Saw that with Pat Francis, host of the Rock Solid show. Mm. So check that. That's another great. And I was communicating to Pat via Twitter, and he was listening to it, but I haven't heard his review of it yet. So I'm looking forward to hearing that. So that's it, guys. What a great show.
Bye. See you later.
Now we have a late review, a friend of ours.
Drum roll, yep. Please.
Your friend and mine. He saw a movie we liked, a little movie we like to call Rogue One. Finally,
I did. Long last, everyone's going to have a huge sigh of relief.
What finally persuaded you to see the movie, Jake?
So I normally don't listen to the podcast.
Because I don't either.
Because I'm on it all the time, and I hear it, and I'm like, I don't want to re-listen to it. But spur of the moment, last week you guys had a whole bunch of people on here, so I'm like, oh, let me hear it, see how it went. One of the first things I heard was like, oh, Jake hasn't even seen Rogue One yet. It's like, wow, is he ever going to see it? Does he even like? Someone's like, does he even like Star Wars? It's like, it doesn't seem like he likes Star Wars. And I heard it came from John. That came from you, John.
I know. And I'm trying not to be snarky. I'm just like, well, maybe he's not all about it like we are. If he can go this long without seeing it, maybe he's not all into it.
Immediately bought it after I heard that statement. I went on Amazon. I'm like, buying it right now. And I watched it, and it was good.
Your Tower of Jello.
I liked it.
I would say he held out for four months without seeing it. He's a tower of something.
But I didn't hear anything about it either, so I wasn't spoiled on anything.
How was it that, because with my brother, he just barely saw it at some second run theater, and he said, oh, but I'd heard some stuff. And I said, yeah, because you waited 3 months to go see it.
I didn't hear anything.
So nothing was spoiled.
We were respectful.
Nope, fresh, yeah.
So what did you think of that last 10 minutes?
It was
just
good.
Teeing up for A New Hope, just setting it right up.
I thought that was really, really cool. I thought it was really interesting how it's like I do get how you're saying like the first half was kind of slow, but it didn't feel like it was like too slow. Like it wasn't really going anywhere.
I felt like it was just uneven. I felt like there was some
they have to show interest. They have to show why these people are getting involved in this whole rebellion and why this rebellion's even starting in the first place. So I thought that was really cool that they were kind of bringing that into it and sort of leading up to the big, you know, grandiose moment of, you know, storming the beaches of the whole planet.
It really did look like the Dirty Dozen or something.
The last 45 minutes, loved it.
The last last 45 minutes was so good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And especially like in the last part where, you know, obviously I'm spoiling it.
Everyone's
doesn't even matter. Everyone's seen it.
And
now everyone
spoiler alert.
The Death Star was firing down onto the planet, and it was like this last moment for Jyn Erso, and then the other guy, Cassian. How those two, they're having like their last moment, and then you see this whole segment of where you're seeing the plans of the Death Star getting transported to this person and shooting off into this starship, and then they're going off, and then
like,
Vader's trying to find it, and it's like basically getting thrown off to each person right before Vader tries to grab it, and
so
then
cool.
You at the end you see Leia. It's like, oh, it's, you know, this is our only hope, or it's a new hope.
So there, then... along those lines, while I'm thinking about it, there was a – I posted it on the show page already. So if you go back a couple of days, there was a girl at Star Wars Celebration, which just passed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She was a little girl, and she was cosplaying as Jyn.
I saw that.
And she had these little plastic they were like clear plastic cutouts, and they looked like the Death Star plans. And she handed them out to every girl that was playing as Princess Leia, as cosplaying as Princess Leia, and then wait for it. They had a memorial for Carrie Fisher. She saved the last one and put it on Carrie Fisher's memorial. They had like a little memorial. Yeah. Really, like, you're just like, oh, God.
Yeah.
But she's a cute little girl, and she's dressed like Jyn, and she's just handing all these princesses.
Princess Leia cosplayers.
They all took pictures with her because she just like walked up and handed them like the Death Star plan. Really cool.
It was really good.
Yeah, her and her dad were there, and
that was creative.
That was her little thing. Yeah, she wanted to hand them like the Death Star plan.
Wow,
isn't that cool?
That's heavy.
There you go. So did you? Was there anything you didn't like about the movie?
Nothing that like really stood out at me there. Because like I heard a lot of comments about how Jyn, her character seemed kind of flat.
Uh-huh.
But the way they had played it up, she was basically being, you know, tossed around left and right without having much of a home. And she was basically on the run the whole time. Someone's not going to be a very, you know, emotional person when you're going through that whole situation. So it made sense, the fact that she was kind of...
She didn't trust anybody.
Closed off, and she was very, you know, she like kind of bottled everything up, and she sort of had this kind of... You know, flat, like, plain expression about her.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a lot of the characters, they made sense.
Yeah.
They made sense to me, and so...
Did you like the Darth Vader scene?
That one? I liked it, but I don't know. There's something about it.
Which one?
The first one where they're talking to the commander.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the one at the end.
At the very end?
Where he's walking through the...
Oh, just walking through, just throwing people left and right. I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
But that first scene, it felt...
forced and with a horrible joke in it.
That scene, I will say, it felt kind of forced. It felt like it was a guy who was talking to like his like the CEO of a company.
Kind of thing.
It didn't feel like it was like the weight of the like of the empire on the hands. It felt like they were talking about like profit margins in a company or something.
And then
it felt
kind of weird. He's just like, don't choke on your aspirations. Have you guys seen the YouTube video where they?
That I will say is kind of...
There's a YouTube video where they edited all these Vader saying all kinds of bad puns throughout the... You look it up on YouTube. It's hilarious.
They made him up or they're from actual...
No. It's like, what if he had done all
he's
of those...
Such a dad.
It's just Vader doing a bunch of dad jokes. Don't choke on your... You know, because it was like, don't choke, which was my least favorite...
Yeah, he did the force choke, and he's like, don't choke on your aspirations, and just walked off.
You seen that kid's book where it's Darth Vader and son?
Yeah.
And then Darth Vader and daughter?
Oh my God.
You see, those are beautiful.
My daddy or something. Yeah.
That's, I need to get that.
Be careful not to choke on your aspirations, director. Nailed it. I cracked myself up.
Here it comes.
Alderaan, more like Alder Gone. Oops, guess I hit the spin cycle. We should really savor this moment. I guess you're just Roby One now. Here, enjoy a can of Choca-Cola. Is it just me or is it really hot in here? Oh, dear Admiral, I thought you were trying to quit choking. Nice buns, hon. Lighten up, nerd. I was only choking.
Vader. Release him.
Sorry.
It goes on like that.
I must saber this moment. That's a good one.
What'd you think of Peter Cushing turning up digitally?
Did you even notice?
As Tarkin.
Did you even notice?
Like, what, he's dead?
You're millennial. Hmm? You wouldn't know.
Cool. What?
He was the grand...
Know, he was like really bad.
Grand Moff with the cheekbones. Grand Moff Tarkin. Tarkin?
Tarkin.
It was really badly like... Right,
Vader's boss.
Oh,
the guy that's running the Death Star.
I did notice that.
What is
that? Is that the guy who runs
You knew he was dead, right?
He's been dead about 20 years.
The actor's been dead. Peter
he has?
Yeah.
What?
They just CGI'd him.
They did such a good idea. They did such a good job.
I didn't notice.
Yeah, they brought him back.
Well, we're such like, we know him going back to the to the Hammer movies of the 50s. So, we're like, oh, yeah.
We know he couldn't be alive.
Yeah, we know. But he's such a secondary character in the original Star Wars.
Right.
For us, we go, oh, how did they get him?
Yeah.
But for someone now, they're just like, oh, that's just like, another British. Guy, just like just another in. British actor like wandering around the Death Star, you know?
Oh, that guy.
Oh, that dude. Oh, yeah, he was.
Oh, Lieutenant Cheekbones. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
By the way, guys, Fallout is getting its own tabletop game.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it based off the Fallout Shelter?
Is it?
Fallout Shelter app that they have?
I don't know.
No? Maybe? I don't know.
It's called Wargaming Wasteland Warfare.
Oh, never mind.
How about that?
Not. Probably not.
Hmm?
What's Fallout?
Fallout is a really... You would love it, John. Fallout is...
Are you asking that sincerely?
I don't play video games. Okay. So,
yeah. I've actually played you the soundtrack.
Post-apocalyptic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that Fallout.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Really guys, great soundtrack for it.
Guys, just before we went to press...
Big Fallout news. 4 has a great soundtrack, too.
Big news. Are you ready?
Yes.
Here we go. Star Wars Episode 9 and Indiana Jones 5 get official release dates.
Oh, hey.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Star Wars Episode 5 will release May 24th, 2019.
You mean 9?
That's not that bad.
2019. May 24th, 2019. All right. It will bring the trilogy to a close, which is where they're doing it in 4 years instead of 6.
They're only...
Well, because they're not taking 3 years to make one anymore. It used to take them 3 years to crank one out. Now they want one coming out every year. That's the Disney plan. One a year.
Okay.
Whatever it takes.
It will not feature General Leia in the wake of Carrie Fisher's passing in December 2016.
I wonder what they're going to do with that.
I hear they've had to rewrite
everything. Yeah.
All right. 2020.
How are they going to explain Leia's disappearance then? That's
Because
you can't just not show her anymore.
Well, she had filmed everything for this next one.
Okay.
So they just have to come up with why she's not in the last one, yeah.
July 10, 2020. Harrison Ford, Steven Spielberg, Indiana Jones 6.
Revenge of the Crystal Skulls.
Temple of the Crystal Skulls.
Yes. It's all about crystals now.
So think of Harrison Ford now, and think about what he's going to look like in 5 years.
Return to the refrigerator.
Is your refrigerator running?
Has the walker.
Is your refrigerator running?
Do
you have Prince Albert in the can?
You have. How big are your balls?
Just prank calls on him for like an hour.
Love it.
There's a bomb going off into the fridge.
I would be more excited about Indiana Jones 5 if Indiana Jones 4 hadn't happened.
Right. Well, the way it works, this will be a good one, right? It's kind of like good one, bad one, good one, bad one. Now it's a good one.
Maybe.
Think the way that works.
The old Star Trek model? Love it.
Why did they think the Crystal Skulls was going to be successful?
Well, because it was Indiana Jones.
Because it's Indiana Jones. I know, waiting but 17 years.
It was Indiana Jones. Aliens? Had someone who
what I heard was I Lucas.
Aliens?
What I heard is Lucas insisted on a sci-fi angle. That's why it took so long to do it. Because I think Spielberg was like, no, let's just make it another adventure. And Lucas insisted on that sort of sci-fi angle.
No, that's kind of his Steven, thing, yeah. No. Steven, no. Don't do that.
George.
Why does it always have to be about aliens?
Mm. All right.
That's
here we
my
go.
Question.
Can it just stay with the paranormal, supernatural? Just leave it mysterious?
It would be great if the next one is all, in this one, Indiana Jones meets the blob. You see, there's this thing that comes in a meteorite, and out comes a blob, and he's going to fight it. Crickets.
He's gonna fist fight it. It's gonna be great.
I'm looking at.
We're gonna bring back the original cast.
I'm looking at reviews of Crystal Skull right now. It's fascinating.
Oh, how do you write out what's his name? Shia LaBeouf or Shia LaBeouf?
Oh, he died.
Shia LaBeouf. They had it all set up. It looked, you know, he hands him the hat at the end and the whole bit. Yeah. Looked, it was all set. For
passing
him
the gauntlet
to
and
be the next.
Like, no,
they're like, no, he's a nut job. Nah. Forget it.
Do it.
Right. He's off fighting Transformers.
Yeah.
Oh, love it. What's going on with Shia? Is he still around?
I guess.
He's around doing stuff.
Is he? How do you kids feel about Shia LaBeouf?
I liked him in Holes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I liked him in the one scene he had in Freaks
Stanley
and Geeks.
Stanley Yelnats.
Stanley Yelnats?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's main character Holes. In Holes.
He's the main character in Holes?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Is he really?
Yeah.
There was just a Holes reference.
Millennials, am I right?
There was just a Holes reference to the new Mystery Science Theater.
Was it really?
Which, by the way, is fantastic.
You're loving it, huh?
I love it. I love it. A lot of people. It seems to divide a lot of the faithful because it's the same, but they definitely the volume of jokes come at a much quicker pace, and I think a lot of people have a problem with that.
Oh, really? How about you?
It's not exactly like the old one. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I
know.
It's like no changes, which means there must have been people that were split after the original host left, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, there was a guy, because I belong to the Kickstarter, so there's a Kickstarter group on Facebook, and this one guy's like, I give up. I've given it, you know, I gave it like 11 or 12 episodes. And,
wow.
But he's like, he goes, the original show was hit or miss for me. And I was like, well, then why did you kickstart it? If it was hit or miss, you know, it's like, I wouldn't, you know.
You weren't
I mean?
On fire. Then.
It was okay. I'll put $1,000 down.
Yeah, why would you do that?
I wonder how much you put down.
I put down. I'm not going to tell you.
$5.
It was worth it. And I hope, watch it on Netflix. If you like Mystery Science Theater in the past, you'll like it. And, they need to get another season out of it, so please watch it on your Netflix. Has anyone else watched it?
Nope.
Why not?
I have so many shows I'm
forgot
watching.
About, I forgot about an answer. It, to be honest.
Yes, it is.
Speaking of Netflix.
Work.
I'm busy with stuff.
Speaking of Netflix, did you see that three-part documentary, Five Came Back?
I have watched the first episode, and I recommended it to someone.
I saw the whole damn thing, and boy, is it good.
It's good, isn't it?
It is good.
It is about George Stevens. It is about Frank Capra, John Ford.
John Huston
and William Wyler.
Yeah.
And how they went off to become documentarians during the Second World War. They were already established.
Wow.
They were already established Hollywood directors, and they put their careers on hold and went and shot documentary footage for the War Department.
That sounds really interesting.
It's really, really good. It's called Five Came Back. It's on Netflix.
And they got five directors. I mean, they've got all of this great footage from the time. But then they've got five contemporary directors, modern directors, talking about Coppola.
Spielberg.
And Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah.
Paul Greengrass. And who's
Guillermo,
that?
Really?
Oh, and yeah. And and Lawrence Kasdan.
Yeah.
And they're all talking about, I mean, they really make some great points, you know, which is kind of mixed up in all the footage. But some really great footage taken at the time.
Yeah.
Because a lot of that stuff is available. They shot, Capra was in charge of this thing called Why We Fight, which was going to be our, you know, they said we have to, he was told by the highest ranking generals, we've got a thing where we've got to make all these soldiers who have never been soldiers before, they've got to make them understand what's at stake and why they need to be 100% on board. So Capra looked at like the Nazi propaganda and said, okay, you know, we've got to come up with our own films that kind of show people what's what's at stake. So that's what all those guys were doing, was why we fight. And,
I love the idea in that movie they showed John Ford. John Ford just borrowed borrowed costumes from the costume department at the studio and like went and started doing stuff for the Navy. He wasn't even in the military.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
they took prop uniforms and was like, well, we're gonna go make these films.
But
and then,
he was really he saw action.
Yeah,
I mean, he was probably none of these guys. That's the point they make. They say none of these guys were really the same when they came back. What they'd seen. George Stevens was filming when they liberated the first concentration camps.
Oh, God.
And they didn't even know what they were going to see. They weren't even quite sure what it was. And once they got through the gates, at that point, he's not filming it for documentary purposes. He's filming it, like, for evidence because they know they've got to get this on film because they know there's going to be trials.
Isn't that crazy?
War crime trials.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He cannot believe what he's saying. And so none of these guys come back. You know, you just don't come back the same after seeing all that, you know.
There's a really great, I forgot the book. It's about John Ford, but it talks about how he really, you know, he and John Wayne had worked together on Stagecoach, and they were good friends.
Yeah.
And after he got back from the war, he just, I think he lost a lot of respect for John Wayne, who got a deferment.
Yeah.
I think he had like a deferment because he was health issues or whatever. And he would just, and they said that from then on, they would continue to work together, but there were points where he would actually make John Wayne cry because he would straight up call him a coward, like on the set of to get him to get when he wanted him to emote and stuff.
Right.
It was like a button he would push with John.
It was a weird relationship because obviously they were tight. I mean, he cast him in that They Were Expendable, which is the first movie he made when he came back from the war.
Yeah,
but yeah, he would do that. Yeah, he'd say in front of everybody, you didn't serve like we did. You know, it's like. Yeah, if you wanted him to tear up, that's all he had to say.
Yeah.
He was a real odd guy, a real I mean, an artist, but a real
butting heads,
real
time.
Bastard.
A lot, yeah, real.
Yeah, I remember reading that.
Yeah, yeah. And he, but he was also. If you look at any John Ford movie, you're like, wow, this guy.
Yeah.
Obviously, whatever. That's where you got to separate the
artist,
art from the art.
Yeah, the art from the artist.
The artist from a starving artist. Yeah. Well, he wasn't a starving artist, but I'm trying to figure out where this mic's. Oh, that sounds good right there.
But and then William Wyler comes back and he's practically deaf because he went up and he shot the documentary on the Memphis Belle, the real Memphis Belle.
Yeah, yeah.
He's up there and then he's doing other shots from planes and it's so loud. Everybody on the plane is wearing like earmuffs and headgear. And when he comes off that plane, he's just, he's like almost 3/4 deaf. And so, you know, he.
That's crazy.
He physically came back.
Yeah, check it out. I watched the first episode, and I just have not gone back because I got into
it. It gets better and better. It'll knock you out.
But, and some of that footage is pretty amazing, too.
It is. It's amazing what they got.
John, where did you see this?
I saw it. They played it for 1 week at the Lemley Theater out in Santa Monica. And so I saw it. It was like a three-hour, no intermission, and it was a full house because everyone knew it was just going to be a week, and then it was going straight to Netflix. And when it was over, you know, everybody stands up. And I said, wow, that wouldn't have been the same on TV. And this old guy behind me went, amen.
Well, hey, we don't all have LA Weekly, John. But like,
no, but I mean, everyone's got like a 50, 60-inch screen now. So, you know, it's fine.
No, but it still isn't the same. I'm sure you lost something watching Rogue One, waiting so long. The way you did, you robbed yourself of an experience. But I mean, I'm not judging.
I know. I mean, it's always a different experience, though.
It's
when you're
weird.
In the movie
you know me.
Theater,
I really like rah-rah for the actual theater experience.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Where you're in a room too. With a couple hundred people in the dark watching this thing. Name, but it's just a great show.
Name something that's better on TV.
You know.
Sports.
You know, Three's Company. I don't know.
Three's Company.
Two and a Half Men.
Yeah, like a sitcom. You don't need to watch a sitcom on
Well, it always trips me out when they do like they'll do like Fathom Events. It'll be like one day only. Sherlock, you know, and they'll do like an episode of Sherlock. It's like, that's not shot for cinema, so I wonder how it looks. I've never gone. Has anyone gone to one of those things? Or
probably grainy. And
well, yeah. I did it for Star Trek when they ran the first Star Trek episode, and that was kind of weird. You're going, oh, this was – I mean, it's cool to see it on a big screen, but you go, yeah, this was shot for TV, you know.
It's not the same, yeah.
Well, it's funny is like movies – like quiet movies. Like the one that people always joke about is My Dinner with Andre. It was literally just two guys talking over dinner. That was the whole movie. And so they always talk about you don't need to see it in IMAX. You don't need to see it in the theater.
Yeah.
You know, TV's fine. You know, it's the one movie you don't need to see.
Yeah, I offend people sometimes. I know my wife and I have gotten into arguments where I'll say like, oh, this movie's a waste of a theater. Look at the sound system. And we're going to talk about emotions and stuff. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and then you stand up and go, where are all the zombies?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought there was going to be, like, robots and zombies. You say real loud and shuffle outside. And,
all right. Speaking of robots and zombies, we have our movie preview coming up, so let's take a quick break. And when we come back, get excited, because we're going to go to the movies.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Movies. Let's all go to the movies.
To get ourselves a treat. Boy, that just fizzled out, didn't it?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4!
Let's all go to the lobby. We'll be back. Hi, guys. We're back. It's time to talk about movies. Movies. We love movies. Movies. I don't even know. Do you like movies, Angie? Do you like to go to the theater?
Do you like movies?
Of course I
do. So why am I here?
I'm surprised you're not asking me that question.
I know, right?
What is your favorite?
I know. I'm the one that watched Rogue One.
What is your favorite movie of all time before you?
All time? Oh, why?
That's rough, isn't it?
Yeah.
He always does that. And you're like, really? Out of 100 years of movies? Mm-hmm. I got to pick one?
My Dinner with Andre.
That's right.
I don't really.
Okay, think about it.
I am thinking about it.
So these are going in order of release dates.
Ah.
So we're right around the corner next week.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes. Wait on us.
We kick off the summer.
With.
A month early.
Yes.
Cinco de Mayo.
Yes.
Yep. With.
Yep, I'm down.
Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Let's go.
Yes. What does everybody say? What's the consensus?
I'm already half plans to go. So.
Now, those of you who don't know, I don't think anywhere here when my friend Jenny or my friend Jenny's daughter, Carly was here, and Carly had just graduated from Arizona State. She got an internship at Marvel. So she was actually a production assistant on this.
Wow.
Really?
And she is now working on the new Black Panther movie. They liked her so much, she stayed on, and now she will be working as a PA on...
what a dream job.
A physician's assistant?
She's a physician's assistant on the... And you will need that because Black Panther wounds.
He's got claws.
Yeah, he's got claws.
Oh, he's got claws.
Meow. So what are you looking forward to in this next iteration of Guardians of the Galaxy 2? We'll kick that off to Angie. Did you love Guardians of the Galaxy 1?
I did.
Who's your favorite character?
Oh, come on. It's
Chris Pratt.
It's gonna be Groot.
Groot?
Of course.
Now you get baby Groot.
Everyone loves Groot.
Everyone loves Groot. That's I'm like, it's so easy. It's Groot.
Wow, that was good, John.
It's Groot.
You sounded just
like
Vin
Diesel. That's going to be really high-pitched Groot.
Yeah, they said Vin Diesel had to make a really, like a baby, baby Groot.
Did you enjoy Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1?
I loved it. It was a great movie.
And John?
Chris
Pratt really does.
Great soundtrack, yep.
Portray Star-Lord.
Have you seen a list of the next soundtrack, John?
No, because I want to be surprised.
Okay, yeah. I won't tell you.
Because that was the fun of the first one.
I won't tell you.
I don't want to know. So
I
I'm
love
gonna,
it.
I'm going to try to go Thursday.
I will not tell you. Do you know anything about it?
Yeah, I just read a whole thing on the synopsis.
But
there's a lot of new characters.
There are. We'll see if it works, but it looks fun. I still say that the original Guardians of the Galaxy had one of the best trailers ever because I knew nothing about Guardians of the Galaxy.
And they got you interested.
I've told this story a million times. I went to the old store. Renee came up. He said, "Hey, they're making a Guardians of the Galaxy movie." And I was like, "Who?" He's like, "Guardians of the Galaxy." And I was like, "I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Look at this trailer for Pacific Rim." And then he got into Pacific Rim. And then I saw the trailer for Guardians of the Galaxy. And I said, "I need to see this movie, and I already know everything I need to know about the characters from watching this trailer."
That's what I loved about that
trailer. That's what I loved about
that trailer. It told you everything you needed to know about the characters without ruining anything from the movie.
If you do it right, you don't need spoilers, and you don't need to have read the comic for 10 years. You know?
And I like that they had the whole lineup thing where they basically did like a rundown, like a full bio of a bunch of people. It was really cool.
All in like a minute and a half.
And that's what Suicide Squad tried to do, and then told us the stories anyway.
Completely failed.
All right. Here's one. The next one. I'm just going through a preview of the 40. No, how many? I think it's the most anticipated movies of the summer. Mm. Here's one I'm up in the air about because this genre of film has never really appealed to me, but I do like the director. It is King Arthur, Legend of the Sword. Have you seen the previews for this, John?
I have.
What do you think?
I'll go. I'm a sucker for that stuff. I'm a sucker for King Arthur movies. I loved Excalibur. You know, there's been some kind of dopey ones since then.
You loved Monty Python and the Holy Grail?
Yeah, you know, I'm just kind of a...
you like Sword in the Stone?
Yeah, I mean, but since then. There was that one with Sean Connery. There was a few years back.
King Arthur.
So, you know, they're always trying to do King Arthur. And I think this is definitely going to be like what they call a reimagining.
Charlie Hunnam's in this too. What do you think? Yeah.
I haven't seen the previews, but I'm always down for anything that's like medieval.
Sword and medieval. I have a hard time with it.
Did you see Excalibur?
Yes.
Yeah. That's really the one to beat. The one from like 82 or something.
So
yeah.
I never have expectations because, again, like I said, they keep trying.
Yeah.
But Princess Bride. Love them anyways.
Princess Bride, of course.
Yeah.
Duh.
Are you excited for this one or no? Will you see this or no?
I haven't seen the trailer, but again, I love medieval stories.
Now, this is done by Guy Ritchie, who did Snatch and he did Sherlock Holmes, so there's a lot of frenetic energy.
Okay.
It doesn't look – but Jude Law, isn't it? I do love Jude Law.
He's the bad guy.
It looks like a more modern take on King Arthur. I think he is the bad guy. Yeah. I believe he is. Mm. All right, next, coming up. Here
we
go.
The lake.
Alien Covenant.
Yeah.
Alien Covenant.
I'm ready.
Ridley Scott is back for his third Alien movie.
Serves
both a sequel to 2012's Prometheus. 2012, why did I say it like that? Prometheus and the start of a new trilogy.
Yeah, because he is going to be working on another one. And that one is going to lead right up to Alien, kind of the way Rogue One led up to A New Hope.
It seems like they're doing that.
No, he says this, this one is about maybe 10 years before Ripley.
All I know is you see that.
There'll be another one.
You see that shot of the alien outside, like in the sunlight?
In the daylight.
It looks terrifying.
Yeah.
I will probably end up seeing this because I do like aliens.
Yeah.
I do like Xenomorphs.
Yeah. He's like 80 something. So
is he?
Well, yeah. So if he's going to be working on a third alien, which is going to tee it up where it ends, just maybe a couple years before the Ripley meets that alien on the first movie. I hope he lives. I hope he lives a long, healthy life.
I hope so too. What were you going
to
say?
I hope they go back to the like the original way in like the original Alien movies where they didn't really show it that often.
Well,
and it was more of the threat of the unknown as opposed to just throwing it on the screen. It's like, oh, look, cool, scary monster.
Well, it's kind of hard to go back on that. I didn't think he showed so much in Prometheus.
Did they?
I mean, he shows very little in the first Alien movie, but mm-hmm. I thought Prometheus was pretty judicious in how much they were going to show. And this one, yeah, you're right. It's like daylight. You're seeing some of they're on the ship in the daylight, which is kind of a novelty because usually they're slinking around.
Yeah.
The corners of a dark room, you know.
Yeah,
I just hope they lead up to that and not have it just be this all-out brawl with a bunch of aliens.
Well, you know, they did a couple of those movies where it was Aliens versus Predator, and those were pretty dopey. That was like how not to do an alien movie. That was really
were kind of entertaining to watch Aliens and Predators.
That kind
of
felt like scraping the bottom of the barrel, and Ridley Scott had no connection to those. Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Angie. You're shaking your head. Why is that?
Because I can't with aliens. I can't.
Is it scary?
There's a lot of backstory there. I can't watch anything with aliens.
Oh, you any kind of aliens?
Last week,
I was talking. Yeah. Emma and I like high five because
you can't do aliens.
We just can't
do aliens. We high five because because we hate the Close Encounters. Was it you or was it Emma?
Emma.
You don't like any aliens.
Like I'll watch some things. Like obviously I can watch Star Wars and stuff, but for the most part, like I cannot with aliens. I cannot. I know. But no.
Well, these are pretty scary aliens. This is E.T. So these are meant to terrify.
What about E.T.? Can you do E.T.?
I did watch E.T. when I was a kid, but I would not want to watch it because it's aliens.
Did you ever watch any of the X-Files?
That's kind of why. My mom just like loved aliens. I grew up with aliens because my mom loved them.
That'll turn you off of aliens. Watching the X-Files, that'll turn you off of aliens.
I was just like, nope.
I grew up with aliens because I'm Mexican, but I mean, hello.
I grew up with aliens because of mom, hello.
All right. Next up.
Nope.
Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales.
That one, I'm going to watch it because I have to.
Everybody says that.
It doesn't look like it's going to, like, I don't know.
Are they beating a dead horse?
Yeah.
Yes, I feel like
it. Are they beating a dead pirate?
The horse has been dead for a while.
The horse has been dead, and they're beating it for years and years and years.
You know, I know Johnny Depp loves doing that character, so he'll probably come back forever to do that character.
My daughter, this is the first time she's ever shown interest, that I really want to see that, and I'm like, why don't we watch the original at home and not go see this one?
Like,
what is this, number five?
Yeah, I think this is five, yeah.
Five.
Well, you got Jeffrey Rush's back. He's always great. Mm-hmm. So, is he Barbarossa?
Yeah, but why is he back on the...
How did we leave Barbarossa?
I don't even know.
Has he been in all of them? Did you see
that? See, you know what it is? It's like I got to do homework because I got to go find out. Javier Bardem is in it, and he's always fun to watch. But that trailer, I've seen it too many times.
Did you see that last one with the Fountain of Youth and Ian McShane and all that?
Yeah, no. Part of it.
I didn't see it. Was it good?
No,
it was fine. I mean,
they're fun movies.
At this point, they're like serviceable.
Yeah.
You go just to kill 2 hours, have some popcorn, and watch something fun.
I'm gonna watch it, probably not in the movies, but I'm gonna watch it.
All right,
I like watching it just because
it's pirates.
No one makes pirate movies anymore, so that's you get your fix if you like pirates.
Yeah,
all right, here we go. This is a biggie. A studio's hopes rest on what we're gonna talk about next.
DC.
An entire franchise. Comic book nerds everywhere are getting ready for this.
Superman 5.
I'm, of course, talking about Captain Underpants. No. That is coming out, though. We're talking about Wonder Woman, June 2nd. What do you guys think?
She's a wonder.
Thanks, John.
I wonder if this movie is going to flop.
It'll make a ton of money, and I like the trailer.
The trailer looks dynamite.
Uh-huh. It looks like they're actually doing a little better.
Yeah,
definitely especially for DC. But at the same time, it's kind of like, I'm not sure. Your history's kind of saying otherwise. You know?
You know, it's an interesting premise. They're not taking the easy way out.
No.
It's like World War One, and she's the whole thing is like she sees all that, you know? She's out on the battlefields in like no man's land.
Yeah.
And it's like that's kind of an interesting setup.
Yeah. You would think, fresh.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of just starting it in World War II like Captain America
did. Yeah.
Which would be obvious because that's when the character kind of was created.
There's mm-hmm. obviously a little bit of humor too, because even in the trailer they're like, she's struggling with having to fit in with everyone, and she's just like holding her.
Yeah, they're putting like petticoats on her. She's going, yeah. How do you fight in this? And like, fight.
So
you've seen that,
does
right?
Seem a little different than what normally DC had. Like,
yeah, this probably has more to do with the director.
Yeah,
this isn't Zack Snyder.
So yeah, I think, that's true.
I mean, that's if there's A+, that's it. So, you know.
I feel like they were riding that Christopher Nolan train where they were doing like the super, super dark, gritty
yeah.
tone
for
everything.
They can't do that forever.
No.
Like everything, if you do that tone forever, it just gets
it gets
boring.
Old.
Yeah. What do you think of the I mean, I thought she was like just about the best thing in that Superman.
She was definitely the best thing in
Batman.
Yeah. And I love her. I know a lot of people, and of course it's like these nerds that are like, her boobs aren't big enough.
That's
what you're worried about.
Her boobs are 36 D's. She has 32 C.
Looking at all the comic books, you can tell she's at least this good.
They didn't typecast Wonder Woman enough. We need bigger boobs.
Hey, she shouldn't be able to fight because her big boobs are so
big. Why are we turning into Joyce?
You know what she needs
bigger boobs. That's what I say.
Hey, you think I read that comic book because of the sword play?
I read it because of the other sword play. If you know what I'm saying.
Hey,
how you doing?
Look, if that's what you're reading it for, wait for the Power Girl movie.
Yeah. Touché, my friend. No, you know, I'll tell you what, just watching the preview, I already think she's a great Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just watching the preview, my daughter's excited about it. Yeah. So I'm going to be really mad if DC messes this up somehow.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Please don't screw this one up. Not Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman is awesome.
Yeah.
So please don't ruin it. Like, you know.
She has an invisible plane.
Like, I don't feel bad if they ruined Green Lantern. It's like, who cares? Green Lantern. Yeah, great.
You don't care.
Yeah, I don't care. Nobody cares about it. People think they care about Green Lantern.
Caring about Hawkman, you know?
Yeah, it's like, yeah. Who cares?
You feel like Green Lantern, though, they do have animated series, which seems like it's way better.
I'm telling you, the DC guys. Listen, DC.
DC loves the animated series. They always do well.
Yeah.
Do those. Let the guys from the animation team make the movies. What is your problem?
Yeah.
I mean, they had a misstep with The Killing Joke, which we talked about, where they had that whole weird thing with Batman and Batgirl.
Kind of weird.
Well, I always thought that was supposed to be a more paternal relationship.
Also, why change the comic? Is that a comic that needed changing?
Yeah, exactly.
It was like put together like a Swiss watch. Why do you need to put another gear in there?
Good. John, you are on fire today with the analogies. Love it. All right, next up. A movie that never needed to be made.
Mm.
The only reason we needed this movie to be made so we could get another preview of Tom Cruise running.
from a blazing building.
And that is The Mummy. The Mummy.
No.
This is a movie.
It's coming. No. It's finally coming.
Watch the June trailer.
9th. I have.
No.
It's him running and him in a plane that's crashing. And he's just like, I don't know.
I don't understand why this movie needed to be made.
It's Tom Cruise the movie.
I don't know why he needs to be in it. I mean, there's money to be made because that last Mummy reboot made a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. John, here's you want a spoiler? Because I'm not going to see it in the theater. Does anybody else?
Either. I don't care.
No.
Here it is. Russell Crowe's Dr. Jekyll will help bridge the gap to Universal's larger shared universe of monsters.
Because this is supposed to be the Monsterverse, Universal's Monsterverse, which King Kong's a part of. And I think that Dracula Untold was supposed to be part of, although it wasn't a hit.
Mummy versus Dracula versus
we've already
King
done
Kong.
It. We've already done those in the 40s. Van
Helsing.
Yeah.
They tried and it crashed and burned. That was awful.
I liked Van Helsing.
I hated Van Helsing. Oh, my.
You know why you hated it, though? But you hated it because you have a stake because those are your favorites.
I love the old 30s and 40s, Frankenstein and Dracula.
I mean, I love them, too. But, you know.
I just thought it was silly. It didn't show him any respect. It was just
way
too tongue-in-cheek.
Uh-huh.
And that, they thought that was going to be this big series. Like, we'll do Van Helsing meets this guy, and Van Helsing battles that guy, and it just crashed and burned. So
I want to see someone take like a good stab at it again, though. Because I really like that.
That means that they're probably queuing up on all the other, you know, maybe they're going to do a Wolfman or Frankenstein. I don't know.
It could be good. I just don't like Tom Cruise in it.
Yeah. I don't know why he has to be in it. Because he's not the mummy. The mummy in this movie is the girl. The woman that played the alien in the last Star Trek movie, mm-hmm. She is the mummy. And it's this whole story is going to be like she's like some queen that was double-crossed and now she's back to kick ass. And
then they're going to fall in love.
Who knows? It's a weird thing.
Hmm.
But yeah, Russell Crowe is Dr. Jekyll, so you know that they're gearing up on that. That's the next one, probably.
Yeah, we'll
see. But you heard about that, right? Universal wants to do what Marvel and DC.
I didn't know that.
King Kong is a part of it.
I knew they were doing King Kong and Godzilla. I thought they were going to do like monsters.
That means Universal is snapping up things that weren't original Universal property. King Kong was not a Universal property, and neither was Dr. Jekyll. So they must be snapping up that stuff. Or maybe at this point it's public domain. Anybody can do a Dr. Jekyll movie.
Yeah.
All right, are you guys ready?
Ready.
All Eyes on Me, which is the story of Tupac Shakur. What do you guys think of that? I'm interested. No, nobody cares. All right, the next one.
I'm into that.
But Tupac?
Yeah.
I'd be interested to watch it.
Yeah, I'm interested into watching it, but I didn't know that was coming out.
Yeah, it's coming out. Cars 3.
Yes.
You like Cars.
Oh, my God, no.
I'm watching that. No, I really am, because I have to watch anything.
Yeah, you need to hear Larry the Cable Guy be in a truck.
I do love.
I don't know if he's in that one.
I love
Get her done.
Is he?
Tomater.
Oh, he gonna be in every single movie. I'll tell you what.
I love Pixar.
Yeah,
but I don't know that I can. I don't know.
Nathan Fillion.
It's hard, especially because
Nathan Fillion is in it.
Well, then I'm in.
Yeah.
Especially because they're like on their third one, and usually after the second one, it's already like, okay, you're kind of pushing it.
However, level. Toy Story 3 was pretty damn good.
Yeah, exactly. So with Pixar,
that's the exception to the rule.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because they always have like really good movies, and then they try to push it further, and then it's like, but then they have a third one, and it's like hit or miss. Like they're really.
You're right. The rule of thumb is usually if it's gonna peter out, it's usually the third one.
Yeah.
I
feel like that's how animated movies are, though. Sometimes it's like they get one and it's really popular. Like, oh my god, we need to make another one.
Except Disney, for Toy Story 3, baby.
Disney tends to fall into that line.
It either goes really good or
Sleeping Beauty. They'll have a second.
Speaking of stuff falling off, or for John, never getting off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Transformers Last Night.
What about? What happened last night?
No.
Transformers.
What is this, like the sixth?
What happened last night?
Is this number six?
The colon, last knight.
Mm. Oh, last night, as in,
like,
okay, got it.
Knight. Like the Dark Knight.
Is, okay, I'm going to tell you what it's going to be about right now. I'm going to take a stab. Shia LaBeouf.
No, it's
ancestor.
Mark Wahlberg. Right?
Of King Arthur. And it's going to be a tie-in movie with King Arthur.
There you go.
Done.
That's a good one.
Transformers is going to have a cameo in King Arthur.
As a person who loved the Transformers as a kid.
Yeah. Have you liked any of the movies?
The first one was okay. It had good, but it's Michael Bay, so you're like, you have to watch it through this Michael Bay filter.
Explosions and action, and
he's doing this
models
one too.
Everywhere.
It was so great that they got the original a lot of the original voice cast to come back, and they did Optimus Prime. It's great, but I don't know.
Do people keep coming to see these things?
I don't even know.
I mean, apparently, because they're making another
one. They keep making them.
That last one?
Hey, look, I don't know anybody that goes to see Fast and the Furious except for Angie.
Me.
She's seen them all.
I have them all.
I need to borrow them. We're going to
catch them. I'm sorry. I love those.
They're fun. You know what? I will admit they are fun movies.
But no Transformer. You draw the line at the cars transforming into robots.
No. It's not that they transform
awesome
into
action
robots.
Movies and cool sequences.
It's not that.
Yeah. With robots?
It's just...
No. Just... Robots are too close to aliens. I don't like them.
They are aliens. No.
That's true.
I'm kidding. No. The thing with the Transformers is that they keep doing kind of like the same story over and over again.
Right. Yes.
And it's like, okay.
It's true.
And with Fast and Furious, they didn't really start off as actually trying to be a story. They were just a fun movie to go watch and get your adrenaline running. And then they slowly built up into a whole story.
There is a fluid story throughout all the movies,
which I appreciate. And you can put them in order if you want. Mm-hmm. And it kind of just became this huge thing. And now, obviously, they're going a little over the top now. But
did you like the new one?
The
Fast 7?
I liked it, but I feel like they kind of extended portion of it, but I get why, because, you know, he did pass away, and Paul Walker passed away and stuff, and they definitely did more tribute to him. But I still almost like, okay, this is taking way too long. I know he died, and I know.
Oh, so it's like just too long a movie.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Well, like, they kind of extended portions of it so that they can say goodbye to him.
Yeah.
And, like, be like, oh, now we're at the beach and we're seeing this whole thing. And it's like, okay, the movie could have ended like a while ago now. So.
Oh, did they talk like the character had passed away?
Because
in the last one, they just waved goodbye, right?
I think they talked about how Paul Walker died.
Yeah.
Or how, like, the actual character may have died. Because Paul Walker died died in a car crash, too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that last movie, they were able to digitally put him back in.
Did his brother was the one that was acting, and then they just helped. Because he's very similar looking. They just.
So when that movie ended, he was just driving off.
He's just driving off.
So in this one, do they address that the character is gone?
The new one?
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Oh, you haven't seen it?
It's not out yet.
Oh.
Didn't it come out already?
Yeah, it's
out. Oh, what?
I'm pretty sure.
When did it come out?
Yeah, it made a week ago. It made a lot of money, yeah.
Fast 10. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to. As a fact,
it broke all
weekend.
The records. It's the biggest global opening for any movie. Yeah.
I'm totally seeing that.
Was it really?
What?
Global. I don't know about domestic, but globally, it's the most money anybody's made
you
in the first weekend. Yeah.
Biggest global opening weekend of all time. 1 week ago.
Wow.
I'm so late.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I was asking you.
Oh, no,
well, did they talk about him dying?
You must not be a true Fast and Furious fan.
Shut up.
If you haven't watched.
I've been busy.
Boy, you were waiting. You were just waiting.
I
know. Now's my chance. Now's my chance. Now's my chance. Now's my chance. Well, how much do you like them?
Yeah, you must not like them very much here because you haven't been watching them. Mm.
It made $165 million in North America alone and $756 million overseas.
You like Star Wars, right?
All right.
Dang, girl.
I like the universe.
It did not top. It hasn't. It has
I
not topped.
That. Hold on, let me text.
The 1.2 billion of Beauty and the Beast.
Wow.
But it may.
And adjusted for inflation, it still hasn't beat Gone with the Wind.
Yes, never.
Probably not.
They always say that nothing's ever topped Gone with the Wind. And adjusted for inflation, nothing has beat Gone with the Wind.
Does anything beat it as far as likability? Yeah, everything.
As far as inappropriate behavior.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Okay, here's one no one's excited about.
Except me.
Despicable Me 3.
Yeah. I'm excited. I like the Minions.
No, okay, you do? You're excited?
Yeah.
No.
Actually, you know what? I only saw the first one.
That's a
did you love it?
The first one is pretty good.
It was good, but I didn't know if there was a point in seeing the sequels.
Or the one after.
Or the Minions movie. Yeah. I heard the Minions movie was actually pretty funny.
Yeah, it's funny.
Because it's what? It's Britain in the 60s? Or?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't
He's like, I refuse to watch anything.
Have you seen him?
I saw them, but they're very forgettable.
The Minions bug.
That's the way I felt about Shrek.
Yeah, actually, the Minion movie was...
First Shrek movie was really good.
I felt like I saw those Shrek movies, and I thought, boy, the minute I walked to my car, I've already forgotten the whole damn movie. And that's kind of the way I felt about Despicable Me. Ah, it's kind of funny, kind of clever. And then as soon as you leave the theater, like,
what happened?
What did I see? Yeah.
Well, I know it's a bad movie. I just love them. I like bad movies.
They're too annoying for me.
I mean, they're funny, but I think they're, you know... They're definitely for a like a 9-year-old, 12-year-old audience. Right.
So
we're halfway through the summer. Is that who you identify as? We're halfway through the summer.
Okay.
July 7th.
Okay. All right.
Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah, that's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
What's the actor's name?
Tom Holland.
I am really excited to see how
you saw the trailer, right?
Homecoming. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if people aren't after seeing that trailer, if you're not excited, you're dead. You know,
Spider-Man's my favorite. Yeah. I want to see him done. I want some.
I'm glad I'm not dead.
Yeah. Check your pulses.
I can't wait.
Still good.
I can't wait.
Angie,
what's up? I said yeah.
You pumped?
Yeah, we talked about this last time.
Are you pumped?
We talked about this several times before, but I'm glad that it's not.
Oh, it's my favorite.
That might be like the one I'm most excited about for the whole summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not another origin story, which I'm really excited for. Because you already know about Spider-Man.
He's so great.
Here's another one, John.
Just sneak it in real quick.
I'm curious to get your opinion on this.
Yes.
War for the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, because I loved the last two.
Oh, yeah.
The last two are wonderful, yeah.
Dawn of the War of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
Conquest for the Battle for the Escape from the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
No, Beneath the Planet of the Apes. It was great. The last
something.
What'd you think of the last two?
They're fine, but they're
fine?
They're fine, but they're not something I need to see in the theater.
Really?
Yeah. I'm totally fine waiting for them to come out.
That last one was sharp. Really sharp.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, you saw the originals.
I'm a fan. I saw the originals, you know, back in the day. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they still hold up. I think you watched that first one.
Did you see the first one in the theater?
I didn't. I was like seven. You know, or something. But they used to run them on TV all the time.
Yeah.
And by the time I was like in sixth grade, they were starting to run them. Like the Wardman would do a thing where they'd run like two or three of them. Some theaters were running like all five of them. They'd say, come on tonight, we're going to run all five of them. You know, it was like one of the first times they tried something like that. We're going to do a marathon. Come on down.
Wait, five?
This weekend.
Yeah, there's five originals.
The originals from the 60s and 70s, there was five of them.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And, you know, the makeup was, I mean, it still is an amazing makeup job when you watch those today. The first one really still holds up, gotta say. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this reimagining with the motion capture and the digital animation, I think they've been really strong movies. And I don't know where they go from this third one. You know, It seemed like there was an arc, and it seems like this might be where they leave off.
I feel like the film industry is in this pattern of, like, threes now.
Well, it always has been.
Yeah.
But you know what breaks that rule is if the third one makes a shitload of money, they go, well, maybe
more.
We'll do like a fourth and a fifth.
And that's sixth when, and a seventh and an eighth.
And that's when they go down into the toilet.
Feet and the Fury.
That was the problem with the Alien movies. By the time you get to like Alien 5, you're like, okay.
Yeah, right. Alien versus Predator, Requiem 2.
Yeah. They're there in the snow fighting it out. It's all right.
No aliens.
Well, you won't have to fight aliens in the next movie, Dunkirk. Directed by Christopher Nolan.
Yes.
July 21st.
Oh.
Yep. That trailer for that looks great.
I'm very
excited
to see
Christopher Nolan. I'm excited already.
I'm very excited to see Christopher Nolan's antiseptic style and how that horrors of war.
This is the first time he's done like a historical period piece, you know.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting.
I'm excited. I mean, he's got
trailer looks strong.
He's got a beautiful eye. I mean, he definitely can.
But his eyes are beautiful.
Yeah.
But you did kind of nail it. He has a style that is a little.
He's very Kubrick. Very Kubrick. Everything's very very cold. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll play over well. And
the preview looks great. Have you seen
for
any
war?
Of previews?
No.
It's a true story.
Mm.
What's interesting is there's also a Churchill movie coming out. And it's Brian Cox playing Churchill. Yeah, and that's actually going to hit the theaters before Dunkirk. So that'll be interesting.
All right.
And that takes place like the week of the D-Day invasion.
Here we go.
I think they did that on purpose.
There you go.
We have Valerian
and
the City of 1,000 Planets.
I'm very excited.
Directed by Luc Besson.
Yep.
Besson.
And this is one of the main influences for Star Wars.
Well, if you like The Fifth Element, this looks like The Fifth Element on steroids.
Yeah.
I'm down.
Yeah. It's the same director. He's really got a great style. I mean, he did Lucy. I thought Lucy was great.
Multipass.
I didn't see Lucy. Was it good?
Yeah. Check it out. It's really crazy. Yeah.
Well, Luc Besson did like The Professional.
Uh-huh.
And,
that's right.
And did
that's right.
La Femme Nikita.
That's right. He's really got a hell of a
style. I love Lucy.
Great style.
We're as happy as two can be. Go, John.
Sometimes we quarrel, and then, okay.
Lucy, you got some splaining to do.
Wow.
God.
Are you guys pumped for this? The Emoji Movie.
What's up,
no.
Rick?
No. Let's not talk about that. Next movie.
How about Atomic Blonde with Charlize Theron?
I just passed that.
That's getting quite a lot of attention. They say they ran that at some festival, and it's really got some insane action. Kind of like John Wick, that kind of action.
Ooh.
It's like a Cold War thing where she's in East Berlin, and they say there's some really crazy fighting sequences in that.
I'd watch it.
Yeah. It's Charlize Theron, and that's all we know. It's called Atomic Bomb. Atomic Blonde, not Atomic Bomb. What about Stephen King fans are waiting for this?
What is it?
The Dark Tower.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What?
The Dark Tower starring Idris Elba.
They're remaking it, too.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Are they doing that as theatrical or is that a...
Oh, you know what? Why isn't that on that list? Because I saw trailers for it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like it's on the list.
Maybe it will be...
Maybe it was just
fall?
Maybe. The trailer looked pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The Dark Tower, I did not read. I know.
That's a hell of a... That's like, what, 12 chapters or something? He's really done a lot of those, hasn't he?
Let me see.
I know that's
Dark Tower?
That's really a lot to read if you're into that.
Oh, yeah. It's a trilogy, isn't it?
No, I think he went on and on and on.
It's always a trilogy.
You say, am I wrong? I thought he did like a bunch of those.
Was it just three?
Wait.
But some of his books look like doorstops, you know? It's like they're just monsters.
They really do.
But they're really good.
But they're good.
Did you read them?
He always conveys this mood of terror without having any monsters or anything. No, he puts
you right there, yeah.
No, he makes you feel that sense of terror without actually having to show you anything.
That's true.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Eerie. Like The Shining. Ugh.
That's why it's tough to film his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Once in a while they nail it, like Misery.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of did a good job of creating that sort of feeling that you're feeling through the whole time you're reading the book.
I feel like I haven't seen Get Out, but I've heard that also kind of has that feel of terror,
that vibe.
Like yeah, dread. Get Out is
great
without actually having to directly show you anything like horrifying.
I'm gonna look that up.
We need more psychological horror, but it's really hard to pull.
That's
off.
Coming out, I think, last week of May.
Well, I just in going through this list, guys, and that was only the big news. There's a ton of stuff coming out. May 23rd DVD release for you can order it on digital
for
May
9th.
Man, go see it if you can.
That I haven't seen.
One yet. Movie you missed was the new Edgar Wright movie, Baby Driver.
Yes, I saw that. I was going to mention that too. It's Edgar Wright, the director of Shaun of the Dead, and
Boss Baby. Yeah.
Crickets.
I'll go see that.
I'm not.
You don't want to see Alec Baldwin talking.
Baby like Driver's got John Hamm and Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey?
Spacey.
Supposed to be pretty good.
All right.
Although it does seem a little like when you read the plot outline, it sounds a little like what was it? Drive with Ryan Gosling. Sounds similar.
I love it.
But Edgar Wright, I mean, hell, that trilogy was incredible.
Love it.
Yeah, that's great. I loved it.
I'm looking at something here.
I love it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you guys are saying.
Well, you know what's funny? It's the first time he's done something. He was supposed to do Ant-Man. So this
he started Ant-Man.
They took it away from him. So this is the newest thing he's done since...
I love it.
What was it? The End of the World?
And Ant-Man ended up fine.
It was. And I mean, he wrote a lot of that. So probably a lot of it made it into the movie. They did a great job. Talk about a character nobody knew about or cared about, and they really did a great job. They put just enough humor in it to make it fun.
I got to go all the way to Del Amo to go see Kong Skull Island.
Where?
Kong Skull Island.
No, where do you have to go?
Who?
All the way to Del Amo.
Redondo Beach.
Del Amo Mall.
Redondo.
Are you going to do it?
No. Okay. Oh, no, it's playing closer to the house. All right.
Try the Academy in Pasadena.
Guys, we'll be back. We have one more segment. We're going to talk a lot with Angie. She's going to recommend some stuff.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Hey, guys, we're back. It's the last segment. And we're going to do something we haven't done in a long time. We're going to have our guest, our special guest, our extra special guest, be our guest.
Be our guest.
Well, that kind of happens when you're a guest.
I used to ask our guests to make recommendations to the audience. This is just stuff that you would happen to like, something we may have not seen or are familiar with. And so I don't know why I'm talking like this way. But were you able to come up with anything?
Oh yeah,
anything.
I had like 2 days to work
on
it.
Anything.
Emma Crump just walked in.
I love your shirt. Thank you.
Everyone's favorite.
I'm only here to buy comics.
Emma's all business today.
I love that. I'm only here to buy comics.
Emma,
talk to me.
Emma, are you going to be at game night tonight?
No, I'm going to a concert.
What concert?
What concert?
1975.
Oh, what? Nice. Right on.
What's it called?
The 1975. You mean? Excuse you.
1970 of what? Chrysler Cordoba?
No.
This music, you kids. You kids with your fashion. London's in here with these horrible fashions that he's sharing on his...
He's like, why you gotta put
on... I saw that page where you're like, this list is whack. We'll talk about it later.
It is whack.
But you look great, man.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. That's London.
Okay. 1975, British pop.
Is it Brit pop?
It's pretty good. Or, I mean, mod, not what you think British pop, but it's
not what you think.
Not what you're used to.
Give us a song that you would recommend from the 1975.
Oh, God. Chocolate.
Can I say something about the 1975?
Yes, sir.
It sounds so much like In Excess.
Is that good or bad?
It can be a good or bad. When I first moved to California, I lived in Echo Park.
Oh, nice.
And so, coming from, like, a place that's surrounded by musicians, I get a lot of input about what kind of music goes down.
Yeah.
And so the 1975 was just known as an NXS cover band.
Wow.
Whether it's good or bad, I still like it because it's kind of catchy.
There you go.
It's good if you like NXS, right?
It's very catchy.
It's a new way of listening
hey,
to
birthday,
there you
like
go. All right, we're gonna
so hard to handle now. Yes, I am.
What?
I wonder why they call themselves...
We're going to drop off...
1975 and not 1985.
Oh.
We didn't name them.
Yeah.
Hey, what's the story? How come it's...
What's the story, Morning Glory?
Yeah.
What's the word, Hummingbird?
Oh.
Oasis.
What, you don't like Oasis, John?
No.
Not at all?
Nope.
I will tell you this.
They're untalented. Boring. Derivative.
Oh, my God. It does sound like... That does sound like an excess. Oh, my God.
So, really, why not 1985?
I don't know. I didn't name it. I like it. Very poppy, though.
Yeah.
It's not bad. I don't hate it.
No. Great singer, too.
I hate it.
He's
the voice, right?
He's very nasally, but I don't know. He's got a British accent, so you can
he's singing with his British accent, though. I do respect that.
Yeah.
It's that sort of high, hiccupy 80s thing. Yeah.
I like him. Very catchy. Very, very catchy music.
Hmm.
All right. I don't know. I can't say much more about it.
No, I don't. I'm not mad at it. That's the 1975.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
You kids.
There you go.
Kids with your modern music. Your hippity-hop music.
You love it.
Or bunnies.
Hello. Hi guys, we're back for the 1975.
Wow, tired of it already.
Wow, that really bored you, didn't it?
The cat kept me awake. The cat, I blame the cat. Yes,
kept hopping up.
The cat decided that about 4 a.m. she was just every 20 minutes was going to pop in and meow, and then leave.
Can't you just shut the door?
No, then she'll just cry at the door.
Oh, and that's more annoying.
Can't you put her in
or you'll hear that.
She'll just come back and
you'll hear the scratching on the door.
She'll get an opposable thumb.
And then you need a new door.
You ready?
Yes.
Here we go.
Three.
So I asked you to recommend a movie.
Okay.
Music. The 1975. A book. Or it could be comic book or whatever.
A book.
I forgot.
I have the list. Don't worry.
Go.
Oh, I've got a list.
3, 2, 1,
go. No. I've got the list that you
sent
me.
What is the first thing I asked you to
pick? You said please pick one movie, book, album, or band.
Yes.
You said or.
Yeah, of course.
But I have two movies to
go.
Kind of recommend.
You do, boo boo.
I do. Okay, so one of them is I know Disney's coming out with all their live action movies, and one that's coming out is Mulan.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
the Chinese had actually have a live action Mulan as well.
Really?
They do, and it's called Hua Mulan.
Hmm.
And
H-U-A?
H-U-A. Hua Mulan. Hua. And I actually watched it like years ago, and I streamed it because it's Chinese and I couldn't find it anywhere. It's all in Chinese, so you have to read subtitles. It has Jackie Chan's son
reading.
In it.
Jackie Chan's son?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
In it. And I actually liked it. I liked it. I bought it from China, and then they actually brought it to the U.S., and I was like, oh, well, that works out. Bought it again.
Love it.
Yeah, so I have two copies if you ever want to buy them. But
heck yeah.
Obviously, it's not going to be the Disney version where it's like, I'm going to make a man out of you. She's actually already knows how to fight. She's known. She grew up doing that. She does still take the place of her father. And you see more of the nitty gritty because she's going from someone who's just doing it for her dad to doing it because she has to. So she's like... becoming a general, she's going further and further, and she's losing her friends and her the family that she's made, and she kind of deteriorates, doesn't want to fight anymore. So it's kind of like you see more of the gritty side of it.
Love it.
Hmm. Did Disney get their the story from, like, is that like a real story?
Oh, that's an actual actual, like, okay.
That's like a folk tale.
It's a legend.
Yeah. Or a legend.
So I liked it. I mean, I've shown it to other people. One comment that I keep getting from everyone that I do show it to, and I agree, but like my mom and some friends all said, she's way too pretty to be a guy. You cannot there's no way I can believe that everyone assumes she's a guy, and it's like, okay, but like,
that's so, not what the story is all about.
That's not the point. Obviously,
she's
subtitles.
A pretty guy.
She's a pretty guy.
Some dudes are pretty.
Yeah,
I face that reality every day.
Mm-hmm. So you know,
checking out someone's butt and they turn around and it's the dude, right? Oh, it's well. Me. I enjoyed it for what it was.
So it's, you know, subtitle.
This is going into a weird place.
What did you like better, the subtitle or the dub version?
There is no dub version for it.
We go subs, not dubs on this podcast, John.
Always subs, never dubs.
So the only things that if you don't really want to read, don't watch it. If you don't really, her being too girly looking. Yeah.
I would want to check it out just to see the live action version.
Yeah.
And the country of origin. You see it. It's different when mm-hmm. you see it from the country of origin.
Yeah, and you get both a little bit of both sides, too, actually. Mm-hmm. So I liked it.
Do they break out into song?
No.
I don't
sadly.
Like it.
Sadly.
All I know is...
There's no little dragon with Eddie Murphy doing mm-hmm. the voice.
All I know is in the Chinese version of the animated Mulan, Jackie Chan does sing, "I'll make a man out of you," in the animated version.
Really?
So, yeah, he does. So there you go. How about
and
that?
And if you know anything about them apples? I caught one of their puns because I watched too much Chinese movies.
What's your favorite Chinese movie?
Actually, I like one called, what is it? It has Jackie Chan in it. It's Robin B. Hood.
I don't know that one.
It's
Robin B. Hood.
That must be the only Jackie Chan movie you have.
No, there's
there's quite a few. He does a lot in Chinese, but they're serious movies. They're not.
There's
funny,
about
like,
there's about
American
a 10-year gap that I haven't caught, but I know his early stuff. Yes, sir, Renee.
No, I'm just listening.
Oh, hi.
But yeah, so that's a whole different movie. But
Renee's here, everybody. So wave hi to Renee.
Hello,
everybody.
Hi.
Everybody, the listeners, all say hi.
Hi.
But one of the things, like for example. Even if you've seen Kung Fu Panda, what is the turtle's name? No.
I've never seen Kung Fu
Oogway.
Panda.
Oogway means turtle in Chinese.
Ah.
So there's actually a character, like in one of the jokes that they make while they're talking to each other is, hey, his name's Oogway. Let's just call him Turtle. And they kind of get nicknames in the... You know, this one's turtle, this one's...
Oogway sounds like a really good dish.
Yeah.
Or...
I mean, it
I'd
can
love
be.
Some oogway.
Or a baby calling somebody unattractive.
Jackie Chan's son, is he one of the main characters?
He's one of the side characters, but yeah.
It's J.C. Chan, right? Is that who it is? Yeah.
I think so. But that's one of the movies. The other movie is by Stephen King.
What's it called?
Rose Red.
Oh. Yeah. I don't know this.
I love that one. I love the movie itself, but I like the backstory of the whole thing. Like, Rose Red is obviously based on his book, but he based the book on the Winchester Mystery House.
Oh!
So, wow.
And I love that house. So, there's a lot of interesting, because there's a lot of history, a lot of interesting things, and I really like both of them together, knowing both the backstory
Who's
and the movie
it?
Itself.
I'll find out for you right now.
Please. My phone is dying. And I'm not good with names.
You're low on battery, huh?
Yeah.
There's a mini series as well.
Really?
Called The Red Rose.
this is all I got. Stephen King's Rose Red. Mm-hmm. Is that it?
Yeah.
It says it's a mini series. How long was it?
Oh, yeah. It was a mini series.
Okay.
Because I was going to say, because it's so long that we had the two VHS, and then when we were able to find it on DVD, it comes with two DVDs.
Oh, yeah, so it was a miniseries.
Yeah, I guess it's a miniseries.
Nancy Travis is the only...
I'm not familiar with that book.
Mm-mm. But it's based on the Winchester Mystery House?
Yeah, so basically the Winchester Mystery House...
tell us about it.
Which is...
I love it.
In California, you can mm-hmm. go and visit. They have tours...
Down by San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's in San
Jose. No, San
Jose.
Oh,
yeah, it's on the way to San Francisco. On the way to San Francisco.
I don't know.
But basically, this house, it started off as this little house that the Sarah Winchester bought.
She was the widow of the man who invented exactly. the Winchester rifle.
Mm. And that's how the whole thing started. So she thought she was being haunted by the ghosts of those who have been killed by the Winchester rifles.
Wow.
Because she went to a psychic and her kid died, and there was a lot of stuff that kind of built up to it. So they told her, the psychic told her to build a house to appease the spirits, to keep building in whatever, like, to confuse the spirit, the evil spirits, and get them lost, as well as to appease the spirits that, you know. And so there, this house is magnificent, huge, and amazing. And it has places like, they have staircases leading to the ceiling. They have doors that open to the sky, like floor. Wow. They have an upside down room. There's the Y staircase where if you go down 7 steps and go up 11, you're still on the same floor. Like, it's fantastic.
The MC Escher house.
There's a specific room where she would, you could only go in through one direction. She would close the door, have her seance to talk to the spirits, and then go out the other direction. And she never slept in the same room twice.
Wow. Now that's rich.
Yeah.
If you can keep building a new room every...
Now, the book, or the miniseries, the whole thing is these psychics are, this group of psychics are being gathered by this one professor who's obsessed with this house to go and try and get the spirits to awaken. And they go and they're basically trying to get something for her to prove that this all exists and this isn't crazy and whatever, that she's not crazy. And one of the things is that the house keeps building itself.
Wow.
So they'll be walking down a staircase or walking down a hallway. And then when they go into a room, they come back out. It's a whole different
Jesus
hallway again.
That sounds fascinating.
We need to get up there.
It's really fun.
If you've never been there, it is an interesting place in San Jose. It's right in the middle of... Like, now there's, like, a bunch of strip malls and stuff around it. So check it out. But it's when you're on your way to San Francisco, it's about an hour outside of San Francisco. I have some friends that live very close, nearby the Winchester Mystery House. But, yeah, she thought she was being haunted by everyone who had been killed by the rifle.
And they have special Halloween tours, too.
Mm-hmm.
They have a whole section, lots of sections of the house that are closed off because they're not safe, or they haven't explored it because people do get lost or have had
a
history
of getting
lost. Which also comes out in the movie. People have gotten lost in the house.
Jeez.
But they have a special Halloween tour because it's been showing up that more and more people are having supposedly supernatural experiences there. Like, there's ghosts and spirits showing up and stuff. But during Halloween, they have a night tour where you follow the glow lights. Yeah. I want to do that so bad. But it's kind of scary, too.
There's 160 rooms in the house.
It's so
funny.
You know, if you're in a haunted house, most people just move out. This woman just keeps building new rooms. That shows you when you get that kind of money, you just, I'll just build.
Oh, she was rich.
Every week I'll build a new room.
Her family was rich on their own.
And
but then she
guy.
Married Sam, the Winchester, whatever
so that,
his name is.
The merging of the fortunes.
Yeah.
Wow.
So she would, like, buy out all the wallpaper that she, like, of one, like, she liked it. She would buy it all because she didn't want anyone else to have the same wallpaper as hers.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So she was nuts.
She, yeah.
Of course.
I mean, you have to be crazy to just keep building on a house to just appease the spirits.
It's like the house on the rock.
Well, you could just move out.
The house on the rock.
Build a new house.
Oh, it was following her. Supposedly, they were following her.
The house on the rock.
Buy another house. Live in that house for a day.
I blame the psychic. They could have said, you know, this isn't happening.
No. So let's see. So you have that was your film. Do you have a book that you've been reading? Or it could be anything you want to recommend. Comic book.
Fan fiction. Actually, I like, it's an old anthology, but it was this anthology of zombie stories.
Ooh, yes. What's it called?
Zombies. Let me find out. I own both. They came out with one, and then they came out with a second one. But the first one was really good. I think it was called...
World War Z.
No.
Decent movie.
Hey, Zombie.
No.
Hey, Zombie.
And it took me forever to find
zombie.
It, too.
Isn't there one called iZombie?
Yeah.
iCarly and iZombie.
Zombie.
Zombies are us. And then you have the Zombie Avengers, and you've got the Zombie Hair Bear Bunch, and the Zombie Flintstones.
Is it called The New
League
Dead?
Zombies?
No.
21st Century Dead?
No.
Book of the Dead?
No, I'm looking
through. History is Dead?
No.
Land
of
the Dead?
It's like something like the...
Democracy is Dead?
The Undead or something like that.
Gonna catch some Z's?
The New Dead? Gonna catch some Z's?
I wish I have them in my... actually,
easy
I know where.
Pickings. Or...
But just in case, let's keep going because I know I have the book and I'll find it eventually. What's the other one?
Zombies, a Compendium of the Living Dead?
No. ZZ Top.
Oh, I think it's The Living Dead, though.
Z is for zombie.
Purchases. I actually bought it a while ago.
The Living Dead 2?
The Living Dead. The Living Dead.
Ah.
The Living Dead 2 is okay, but The Living Dead had a lot more... I think they had a lot better stories. I like anthologies, so you get a lot of short stories. So, like, The Living Dead's a good one. Living Dead 2's a good one.
It's by John Joseph Adams, and it is available in paperback form for $12.
Didn't know he was a paperback writer.
And then,
paperback writer.
If you want one for more for the kid, more YA, young adult, there's Unicorns vs. Zombies.
Who wins?
That one, they have unicorns? The unicorn team. So this is a group of writers who are... like believe unicorns are so much better, so they wrote a story. Like they all wrote their own stories for unicorns.
And I love that. Unicorns are so much better than zombies.
And then the other group of writers were like, "No, zombies are better." So they wrote their own version, their own stories of flat zombies.
If you pet their mane, it cures all diseases.
So it's really interesting because at least I think one of them. Like, you know how zombies, I mean, unicorns are all these happy, whatever. There's one where the unicorn is actually a killer unicorn. So I love it.
Whoa.
Yeah. So there's a lot of different types of stories on
that. That's a title in itself, Killer Unicorn.
That's a great, that's Zombies vs. Unicorns is from April 12th. April 2012. It's by Holly Black, editor. It's a question as old as time itself. Which is better, the zombie or the unicorn? This original all tongue-in-cheek anthology edited by Holly Black. Team Unicorn and Justin Lerbalister.
Michael Bay
Team
needs to Zombie, make that movie.
Makes a strong argument for both sides unicorns. Of the form of spectacular short stories. Contributors include best-selling authors Cassandra Clare, Libba Bray, Maureen Johnson, Meg Cabot, Scott Westerfield, and Margot Lanigan.
Whoever wins should have to fight the leprechauns.
If you're into YA novels, like, you know, adult / probably romantic because most YA novels are like that. You probably recognize like half of those names because I've met half
50
of those
Shades
people.
Of Grey.
Really?
Yeah. YA
best YA novel. Best YA romance you novel. Go to 50 a lot Shades of Grey.
I go to conventions.
Two conversations happening simultaneously in my ears.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's not.
I'm just talking to myself.
By himself. Nobody's talking to Jake, so he's like, I'll have my own conversation. Yes.
I was just naming out
conventions. So.
Okay, next. Uh-huh. You got a band or an album?
I don't.
Okay, that's fine.
I do.
What's your favorite band?
Choose your words carefully.
I can't.
Because I know what the answer is.
You do?
I think so.
What is it?
Oingo Boingo?
I do like Oingo Boingo.
That's not a bad choice. Did you think you were going to get pooped on for that?
No. I know he likes Oingo Boingo.
I like Oingo Boingo.
Everybody likes Oingo Boingo.
But
those who know. I feel like the millennials don't know.
Well, they were huge because they were from L.A. And they were huge in the 80s when I was growing up.
That's true. This area especially, yeah. They did a Halloween show at the Greek
every year. Yep.
And they do the Nightmare Before Christmas show, too, every year.
The remainder of Oingo Boingo, yeah. Mm-hmm. Although he showed up this time, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
We talked about that before. It was it was great.
Did you go? No, that's why.
That's why? You didn't take her?
He was like, nope.
Ed gave me a free ticket.
Yeah, Ed.
You got a free ticket.
Yeah, our friend Ed gave me a free ticket.
The one
who brought me.
Oh, you're sitting right there?
Yeah.
Okay.
He literally called me up the day of, like, right as I got off work. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, nothing. He's like, Danny Elfman, concert.
And I've been trying to go.
Night Before Christmas, I need to go.
And he knew that.
I drove home so fast. And I like threw clothes on. I'm like, I gotta go. Just ran out the door.
That's funny.
I listened to a lot of Devil Doll again. I don't know.
Devil Doll. That's rockabilly.
Yeah.
All female rockabilly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. You heard in my car when we were on the way to San Diego. You're like, no.
You like the Cramps?
Oh yeah.
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 Yeah. No, I've been listening to a lot of Devil Doll though. A lot of Devil Doll.
All right, well check them out.
Yeah.
I love
it. Drake Bell. Drake Bell has a small little rockabilly thing going. From Drake and Josh.
Is that true?
Yeah.
He's into the rockabilly
scene?
Look it up.
A lot of people don't like him from the rockabilly scene because
he's an actor.
They call him a poser.
Yeah.
Because he's a what? He's an actor?
He's a poser. John, I mean, you're deep into the rockabilly.
I thought you knew.
Can you look up the song?
Not a lot
really
of people
quick?
Know.
I want to see John's reaction.
All right, what is it called?
Just type in Drake Bell like rockabilly.
All right.
I don't even know if he's made more than one album. I remember seeing it at over in Claremont, there's Rhino Records.
Yeah. Great record store.
Uh-huh. I love it. Really.
Let's go.
Let's go right now.
Yeah. But no, I saw an album. It said Drake Bell, and it's a rockabilly thing. I had no idea it even existed, and I looked it up, and it was not very good. Yeah. It sounds so.
It's plain. Like if you got to be really good.
Oh, John, you will.
You're going to get into rockabilly.
John, you will love the title of his album.
If you're, what's that?
You will love the title of his album.
Oh, I forget, what is it?
Ready, Steady, Go.
Wrong genre.
Ready, Steady. I think that's his first. I think that's the first song.
Oh God.
Growing up, I just grabbed.
Oh no, that's.
So you just play this, but not Devil Doll.
This one's called Bitchcraft.
I didn't know you collected souls, kindling fire, rolling bones. I should have known you would
this
take
is
it
terrible.
All.
I hate you so much right now.
You know what? That sounds like Wayne Newton.
It's so bad.
That sounds like Wayne Newton.
It's so bad.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
The red roses
so
for
bad.
A blue lady.
So Devil Doll's kind of just inning.
That's the epitome of rockabilly, everybody.
Yeah. You have a favorite song by the Devil Doll?
Do I? There's one, but... Actually, there's quite a few.
Let's look it up.
Well... Let me see. My phone's kind of alive right now. Kind of.
It's alive.
It's alive.
Alive.
We got a song called Queen of Pain.
That's her.
Bourbon in Your Eyes.
Weird Science.
Fever.
Whichever one you want. They're all good
songs.
We'll
do Queen of Pain.
They're all good songs.
Mm-hmm. This is from 2002.
Ooh. Okay.
John likes this already. He's...
I'm the queen of pain.
Suck it, Drake Bell.
I can make it thunder and rain.
She has a great voice.
I can turn the clouds black in the sky. I can put all those tears in your eyes.
That's pretty good. What do you think of that, John?
Yeah, I like it. Yeah.
Devil Doll. We'll check it out. Cool. Well, I will make a recommendation to you based on that. Based on a recommendation John gave to me, I will give now past you. I'll pay it forward. Check out a band called the Detroit Cobras.
Oh, yeah.
The Detroit Cobras. They do basically do covers. They're a cover band, but they do covers of little known like
soul R&B.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you pretty much can't go wrong. Anything you pick up will be great.
Yeah.
Very small. They keep changing labels. They're out of Detroit, but they keep changing labels. It's one, they just haven't taken off.
This is their cover of an Irma Thomas song.
It's raining so hard. Look like it's gonna rain. Time. I'd love to be old and need time, but I guess I'll have to accept the fact that you're not here. I wish the night would hurry up and end, my dear.
How about that? Pretty nice, right?
Yeah.
They're real good live. Every once in a while, they'll turn up somewhere real small. Yeah, I wonder if they're still doing stuff. It's been a while since they put our record out.
That's the beauty of California.
Oh, what's that?
Right.
Let's see if we recognize the song.
Drake Bell.
Last night he said, oh baby, don't feel so down.
It's them covering the Strokes.
Yeah.
How about that?
Which I'm walking out.
Is that Detroit Cobras covering the Strokes?
Covering the Strokes, yeah.
Is that from
that's from 2011.
What's the name of the album?
Nah, it doesn't say. I just have a.
Just a cover.
It's just a cover. It's from a compilation.
Okay.
It's called Stop Me If You've Heard This One Before.
How about that?
Stop.
You know the Detroit Covers did a. Detroit Cobras did a cover of Heartbeat, right, by Buddy Holly. They had that yep. Rave On album. That yep. was great. Yeah, check them out. I think you'll like them, man. It seems like it's right up here. So do you have I also asked you for
one piece of
gadget app or like a piece of technology that you like to use, that you rely on. What can you tell us?
Well, there's two apps.
Go for it.
One is more for board games.
Yes.
Board game nights.
Well.
It's called Schwazi.
What?
Schwazi.
It's C-H-W-A-Z-I.
Didn't we fight them in World War II?
And the Schwazi.
The Schwazi menace.
Patrick Schwazi.
We'll fight him on the beaches.
So basically we'll this them. App is, you know how like you don't know who wants to go first?
Yeah.
Everyone just puts their finger on the phone. And it chooses randomly who's going to go first.
It's S-W-A-Z-I?
Schwazi. C-H-W-A-Z-I.
Oh, Schwazi.
Yes. And you can choose.
Oh, there it is. I see it.
Yeah. And your app can choose how many people to choose. So if you need like three teams.
Why do you never bust this out of Game Night? We're all trying to figure out.
Because y'all are like yelling and I'm just like, all right,
well,
cool.
Yell back.
Yeah.
Is that how game night works?
Yeah, lots of yelling.
Lots of yelling.
Yeah. We are by far the loudest people.
It's a really simple app. Amount of fingers that it can support
100.
Depends on 100 each fingers. Device.
100 fingers.
But, you know, it's worked out so far. I've used it every time.
Love it. That's great. What's another one?
Another one is if you need to, because I cook a lot.
I love
to cook.
We've seen no evidence of that, so maybe you'd want to bring something
in. No, I'm good.
A treat for your fellow podcasters?
There's an app where, I'm just going to go over. it'll convert anything like volumes, currency, things like that. Mm-hmm. It's called ConvertBee.
ConvertBee.
B-E-E.
Oh.
As in the
app. And these are both available. I'm looking at them on the Google Play Store, but I'm sure they're available on the iTunes.
You know, it's area, length, speed, temperature, time.
Love it.
And it's really easy to use, very user friendly. You just scroll up to which one you want, scroll what you want to change it to, and then just put in a number.
Can you help? Can I convert parsecs into time so I know how long it took Han Solo to make the Kessel?
And also, can you tell me
how many
parsecs
are in a gallon?
The furthest they have is milliseconds up to years.
Can you tell me how big a Womp Rat is?
Yeah.
No.
All right.
Okay.
Unless you know nothing.
Well,
how many miles are in a gallon?
Yeah.
It depends on the car.
All right, now one last question. I said, if you have anything random you want to recommend to our listeners, is there anything you want to? I love that Schwazi. I love that.
Yeah,
Pop Tarts.
Yeah. Well,
it could be food. It could be a beer. It could be a restaurant. Anything you want.
Pop Tarts.
What? Where's that coming from?
What do you think?
Why Pop Tarts?
I don't know. He's getting antsy. We've been at it for 90 days.
Like he's like, I need to talk.
I want Pop Tarts.
Milton the toaster.
Yeah.
Recommend something.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Or you don't have to.
I mean,
recommend a board game.
Bar 82, I like to go to.
What is that?
It's a barcade.
Where is this?
What's a barcade?
It's a bar arcade.
Yeah, it's a bar and arcade.
Is it?
Yeah.
Where is it?
It's in between the Arts District and Little Tokyo.
707 East 4th Place, Los Angeles, California. Open today from 6 to 2 a.m.
It's really cool.
It is.
They have a bunch of retro, pinball cabinets.
Really?
They're on like one of the right sides, and they have a bunch of old arcades.
Oh, my God. I'm looking at pictures. I am going.
And they have really good drinks.
I know.
All their games are quarters.
I know what I'm doing.
So,
son.
It's, really awesome.
It's fourth in what?
It's fourth place in Los Angeles. Fourth place, Los Angeles. It's in the Arts District.
Okay.
Like right at the border. We walked to Little Tokyo.
Okay, I know where that is. That's where like the Atomic Cafe used to be, right?
It's where
they have a bunch of
Angel Brewery is at.
Okay.
Where did that ice cream place we went to?
It looks like it's right near the corner of 3rd Street. It's right off of 3rd Street. 3rd and 4th.
Mm. Yeah.
So 4th Street, you know, when you come over the bridge, it turns into 4th Place.
Mm.
And it's right around the corner from Alameda. Mm. It's right there.
The only thing is that, obviously, during the weekend, it gets really packed with a lot of people.
It better not.
It does.
It better not. Well, that's a great recommendation. I'm going to check that out. Okie doke, guys. So this has been a great podcast. Angie, thank you for joining us.
Yeah.
John Sandy, thank you for being here as always.
You bet.
Jake, it's good to have you back.
Good to be back.
Guys.
You missed it.
Until next time, we always say, fight the power, and this transmission ends now.
Sleep?
No. All right, ready? Here we go. One, two, and one, two, three.